There'll be plenty of time to ask John questions later on in this meeting when he presents his report. So I'm going to move to Benito as the first person. You get 4 minutes and then 2 minutes for questions.
Okay, I just want to say that we passed around.
Mike?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Benito from PFW in D.C. I passed around, or Pete passed around, a few copies of my statement, and Jim on that side, and Jim passed around a few other copies that only had the first page. Computer error. But anyway, it is what it is. I just want to say that several people have all spoken to the same point around with regard to finances. It's really about increasing listenership. And a speaker on Community Common a few minutes ago spoke to the same issue again. And so my comments in part are really centered around that. Despite the words that come out of my mouth, this is what we're talking about. And I also want to start by saying what's not in here is, if you look at the Pacifica mission statement, as fine as it is, I think that it needs to be updated. It speaks a lot about we are the voice of the voiceless. We are the voice of those that are outside the mainstream. Well, you know what? At least until a few minutes ago, the ultra-right, the libertarians, were outside of the mainstream. The extreme evangelists, Christian evangelists, were outside the mainstream. But the more the Republican Party organizes, the more they become part of the mainstream. So I think that we have to fine-tune what we mean by who we are trying to serve. And we can't be everything to everybody. So that's the spirit in which I speak. So anyway, I want to read my statement. It'd probably be easier than me trying to talk. I think y'all know that. Over the years, Pacifica and its five stations have lost sight of the National Pacifica mission, and most probably their individual mission statements. PFW certainly has. At the same time, all of terrestrial state radio, to speak to what John Prophet just spoke about as well, including non-commercial and listener-sponsored radio, has also been losing listeners. These and other factors combined so that the five foundation... Is this me?
No.
These factors combined so that the five foundation radio stations have been continually losing listenership / financial support over the years. On top of that, all this, Pacifica nationally, as well as the stations, have become mired in endless civil war. Today, we are in dire financial crisis, rapidly losing relevancy on the media landscape, paralyzed by internal warfare, and steadily moving to the political right in programming, management, and governance. We have not only lost our direction, more importantly, we have lost our vision. To save Pacifica, not to speak of taking it to higher heights, we need to bring it back to financial health and stability. And in order to do that, we have to do, one, return Pacifica to its free speech, social justice, and democratic roots and mission, i.e., ensure that it acts according to these three core values and with maximum transparency in all matters dealing with programming, management, and governance.
That's time. You could take the extra 2 minutes if you want to finish, or you could take questions.
I think I'd rather just take the questions.
Okay.
Steve? Benito, I have no... This is not working.
It's working.
Okay.
I hear you.
It's it's not. Oh, there it goes. I admire your statement. I endorse it 100%. However, it does not move us one inch further towards increasing our audience or making money, because it does not provide any specific actions that will do so. It's a statement of philosophy that is unexceptionable, but it does not give us a direction or a specific way of implementing it. And if you had ways of showing exactly how changing the message this way or that way would result in extra listeners or extra dollars in the short term, that would be marvelous. So any suggestions along that line would be welcome.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my point five, transform, and I don't know if this speaks to your if this is what you're looking for, but this is what I would say, is to transform, well, first of all, ensure that the PMB and the LSBs, as well as the local and national staff and management, are dedicated, and force them to be dedicated to accomplishing these fundamental goals, let me just move on. Transform Pacifica stations into truly listener member driven radio, people's radio, where the staff, programmers, and other volunteers and listener members each play their distinct roles in making this programming that serves the needs of the social movements. And
I'm just thinking.
You want concrete steps.
Here's what it is. If we say.
Steve, you got a chance to ask your question. We have very little time.
Okay.
So I'll let Janet had a question, and then John had a question.
I have a question. Just wanted to address the issue.
Any objections to extending 2 minutes?
Can I just make one statement?
Any objection to extending 2 minutes more?
Yeah, I object, because we'll never actually get to the breakout. If we extend more time.
Committee is the whole.
But we do that tomorrow.
All right. I hear an objection. Unless I have a motion to.
I move to.
Finish the thing you had to say, and let's go on.
Yeah, I'm specifically proposing that the language of the mission statement be changed so that it speaks to who we are to serve. It is not the voice of the voiceless. It is not those that are out of the mainstream. We are here to serve the working class and people of color, and the movements that derive from those constituencies, and the cultural expressions that come from those constituencies. That's what we're here for. And if we provide programming that meets the needs of those audiences, just as one of the speakers spoke to a few minutes ago, I'm sure that people will want to listen to what we got to offer, like John Prophet just said a few minutes ago as well.
Okay, Benito, thank you. And one of the breakout sessions we could have, for instance, would be, how do we revise the mission statement?
Yeah.
Next is Janet Coburn. I'm sorry, John, we just ran out of time for questions. Janet, your statement, you've got 4 minutes and then 2 minutes for questions.
Thank you. Janet Coburn, KPFA. Okay, so there's more to what Pacifica is about than the mission and finances. There's the structure underneath it that supports it that is somewhat invisible, usually. So is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I titled, what I sent to George was Transparency, Controls, and Process Improvement. And I'm going to read it. Pacifica's particular bylaws-based governance structure has led to a unique and entrenched culture developing over years, where best practices, processes, and controls have not been valued, either because of ignorance, financial constraints, or a lack of continuity due to the high turnover of management and foundation and LSB officers. This has led to confusion regarding who is responsible for what, who even knows what needs to be done, a lack of availability of records and other information to stakeholders, a lack of accountability, and an overall lack of transparency. And we have lost financial opportunities because of this. Pacifica has been operating like a startup company, where many practices are based on oral history rather than documentation. There are problems getting PNB committees populated and operating each year. There is no single point of record for maintaining committee membership information. There are no known and documented access controls on membership data, and record keeping is not being properly maintained or audited. In my personal experience as PNB secretary, I've had many challenges learning the ropes, locating information, and identifying who I need to communicate with. Some people have helped, but others have gotten in the way. I found that there were things that should have been done but weren't. I had to invent ways of doing those things. And if they were done in the past, the information was lost, and the people who did the work are long gone. If Pacifica is to survive, it will have to mature in its way of operating. And this cannot be done overnight. I recommend we look into possibilities of how to get there and be mindful of people's tendency to resist change. But regardless of what we come up with, we must continue to retain our tolerance for the differences and diversity among us, and also make sure there are teeth in how policies and procedures are enforced. And in addition, I think we might need to bring in some outside expertise to help with the best practices, you know, to help us learn how to do it right. So I'll stop there.
Do we have time for questions?
Yeah, we have 2.5 minutes.
Questions? John?
Well, I have a comment to support support what Janet said, certainly from the internal standpoint. For the health of the organization, everything she said is quite valid. But from the standpoint of our strategic thinking, we also, I think, as a greater priority or perhaps a first priority, both are important. What Janet said is very, very important. But Pacifica is no more and no less than its programming, the content it brings to the community. So the discussion of what we broadcast and who we're broadcasting to is incredibly important. And I have a lot of ideas I want to be discussing with GMs and program directors over the next week and months. But just to say it very, very quickly, audiences built and audiences are accumulated and stimulated to listen longer. And by listening longer, be more inclined to give money to their public station when you have a strong and predictable set of programs that are anchored in quite frankly, national programming. This does not mean you take away local programming, but you find ways to integrate strong national programming as through as many stations, the five Pacifica stations and the affiliate stations as possible. The prime example, of course, is Democracy Now! If Democracy Now! Were formatted somewhat differently, and I'm jumping into an alligator pit by saying this, to enable local stations to both put local content and fundraising on a regular basis within a program like Democracy Now!, this would make a stronger presence both nationally and at the local stations, in my opinion. And this is the way that audiences in Berkeley, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Houston, Washington, and New York can be built. If you have, you know, from drive time in the morning to drive time in the afternoon and in between, a strong presence that builds audiences not only just in our cities but around the country.
Yes. John, can you put up my microphone? Thank you. What I what I listen, all that you said, but I think that there is under all the explanations here. But one very important for me is, as important as raise money, and we all agree that we should, like you were saying, Benito, at some point in time, we need to have strong financial controls, and we need to watch how we spend that money. That is accountability. And the last thing is, we pay people. We are governance. We have pay staff that are in charge of programming, you know. What I think is, I will use a phrase that obviously is not mine, but said, if we build it, they will come. The listeners will come. You know, we need to, like Benito said, the product need to be there. And like everybody else said, we need to be sure that we are fulfilling our obligations. We the directors. Thank you.
Tony, would you chair for the next 6 minutes? Okay, thank you. So, I agree with Benito. I agree with Benito about the need to sort of refocus on what has been a core constituency. But I think there's a much broader constituency of there are people in motion for all kinds of reasons as this society disintegrates around us, trying to make something happen, trying to build a world that works. And we need to be providing them a platform where they can communicate with each other, where they can hear each other, where they can begin to network with each other. My suggestion is we use national special events as a means to do that, as a means to do that. So, for instance, I asked, and I'm thinking in terms of special events for organizations which already have a constituency, such as the Sierra Club and 350.org. They were trying to make a national impact on awareness of climate change. I called both of their appropriate people. They said, yeah, we'd be delighted if Pacifica would put on a national program on this issue at this time when the issue is live. And they would have promoted that to about 700 or 800, no, actually more than that, about 1 million people. There's 900,000 people in the Sierra Club itself. And those people, some of them would reconnect with Pacifica. There have been lots of events happening. The occupation. Most of the people down at that occupation didn't know from Pacifica at all. There's an event in Denton that's happened. They banned fracking. The state overturned the law at the behest of the oil companies.
That's in Texas.
That's in Denton, Texas. Exactly. The people there are up in arms.
Your state, George, what are you doing about that?
Across a whole spectrum. We could put on a national program which connected the fracking, for instance, to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is the same kind of domination of our culture by corporations. What we need to do that is we need some structure to do that. We need some will to do that. We've already passed the motion 3 years ago that we should be doing that. I'll call on, I guess. Benito and then
Jim first.
Jim?
Microphone.
Got it. I really liked your comments, George, because they tie in with my thinking as well. The idea that we need to really start planning and developing special events, programming special events within the community is very important. And until we start to introduce ourselves to this new audience or to new people, we are going to have a problem reaching them on air. We can't just depend on air to attract new listeners. We've got to go out into the communities, work with the people on their issues, and actually involve them. We get involved in helping them to solve their issues. They, in turn, will begin to support us even more. We have to start some new fundraising techniques that will bring us those people as well. Things like sponsoring special senior causes. We have a growing senior population here in the country, now that are having a lot of problems. And if we, to the extent that we can address those through Pacifica, throughout the country, will be to our benefit, because they have money, they have issues that we are not helping to solve. If we can do that, then we can increase our support tremendously. Any kind of national fundraising plan, I think, will help, because all of the stations could get involved in helping us to do what we need to do. Each one of the cities that we are in have unique problems that we could actually address. But in order to do that, we have to start to work with those communities, work with them on a very, very, very strategic way.
So we're moving into basically a free conversation at this point. And you can ask me questions, too, if you want. There's probably a minute or two left. I saw Steve and then Benito and Janet and then Rodrigo and then Janet
Robert.
And then Brian and then Robert? Both Roberts. Okay. I don't want to go around. I want people to speak when they're sort of prepared for the stack. So it was
ready?
Steve.
Yeah.
Let me say this.
There it goes.
We have plenty of time actually, but if we keep our comments to like about a minute and a half.
You cut into the time by telling us how much time we have left.
I understand that.
It's $11 too.
Anyway, George, I'm very happy to hear that you are nibbling around the edges, and Jim Brown also, of something that I've been trying to promote in this network for a long time, and it's called the already existing audience model. Yours is just one event, one-time event. The already existing audience model creates programs based on an audience that is already there and waiting for that program, and there's a way of doing it. And you can have Pacifica double its membership and its money in 6 months if you adopt this plan. I'll give you an example. You have any number of churches, synagogues, temples, Muslim, whatever they're called, mosques, in this area. You just pick five religious shepherds of whatever denomination and put them in a panel and tell them they can talk about anything they want except religion. All the things that are going on in their neighborhoods, the problems that the people are having. You don't care what they're going to talk about. It's a very easy show to moderate. What's going to happen is that they will all go back and tell their congregations, you better listen on Wednesday every week at 8 o'clock because I'm going to be on the air. And they listen. And when they come to church or synagogue, whatever it is, on Saturday or Sunday, they'll also say, here are membership tickets for WBAI or KPFK. You better join or you're going to go to hell, or whatever the equivalent will be. And what happens is you've got several million people here who belong to religious institutions. And what you're going to do is use the leverage of their religious leaders to get them to come to grips with Pacifica. And that's one way. Another, that's one program. Easy, costs nothing. These things don't involve changing the bylaws or instituting best practices or changing the mission, all of which are desirable, but they're long-term and they do not increase your audience or your dollars. Another program, for example, you have a large number of colleges and higher learning institutions around here. They all have school newspapers. You get five, and you change the religious guys, and you get five college editors and put them on a panel. Tell them they can talk about anything they want, smoking in the hallways, fornication in the closets, anything they'd like. They're going to go back and start writing editorials in their school newspapers about how they're on the air at 7 o'clock every Thursday on a Pacifica station, and you better listen. You're going to reach millions and millions of students that way. Cost is nothing. There are 10 more programs like that you can put on the air, and they will quickly develop new membership from people that we do not reach.
Steve, okay, good. Benito.
Okay, well, I want
to...
Forget the Jim mic. Said I don't need it. Yeah, okay.
Benito from PFW in D.C. So I want to support George's proposal. I know that it's going to be very politically sensitive to implement, and we have to find some creative ways to do it so that everybody feels politically included, you know. But I think that, well, anyway, that's what I say. And I want to use as a particular example of how George's proposal can be utilized for the benefit of the people's movements. We have here Roberto Rabin from Vieques, and he participated in that struggle to get the Navy, to kick the Navy out of a municipality of Puerto Rico. And it was a most significant successful political struggle in that it, for the first time in the history, modern history of Puerto Rico, all three ideological tribes came together. Those people that are for statehood, those people that are for maintaining the current colony, and those people who are for independence. And it's only because they formed a united front that they were able to bring together the political forces necessary to, like I said, get the Navy out of our place. So it is super model of the United Front strategy that was utilized to defeat the Nazis in World War II. Okay? Brought to the modern day. And it is an example of that can be useful to all of the movements here in the United States, because the left here doesn't seem to know how to do anything other than try to kill itself and amongst each other. And that is demonstrated here at Pacifica with these factions. So I'm just saying how, I'm just using that as an example to show how George's proposal would be of benefit to the social movements here in the United States.
Thank you. I'm sorry. It's Rodrigo. I'm sorry, Rodrigo. I wrote it down so poorly I couldn't remember for a moment.
Okay, I'm Janet Coleman from WBAI.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
I'm not on the list?
Actually, it's the wrong Janet.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'll
you are after Rodrigo.
Okay. All right, so it's my understanding there were four proposals that were presented, and it's not to me. It's my understanding. It's not like they're competing with each other, and we're looking for the single one. So all of them have merit, and so I just wanted to mention that. But in support of George's proposal, something that's been happening at KPFA has been live streaming. That's audio, you know, real-time live streaming of actions and events in the community, you know, whatever organizations. There was one about climate change, and there was one done for one of the Port of Oakland actions, protesting the police brutality, and there was a lot of difficulty getting KPFA management to agree to have these streamed on the KPFA website. It's in progress about what policy there should be to make that happen. And in any case, live streaming audio, can be seen all over the country, all over the world, and put on websites. And you have programmers or people covering, reporters covering these events live on the air, and the people who are there know this, and there sometimes there's thousands of people, and that's opportunity for people to learn about Pacifica stations and to support and get more members and all that. So it works both ways. So I'm recommending that that be added to whatever national kind of programming.
Okay, Janet Coleman. And then Audrey.
Well, you know, it was a Bob Fast baby, and not that much of a baby either. And one of the things that worked seriously about that kind of late night intimate programming with many people calling in, call-in shows with either one or five rabbis, whatever Steve's idea is, it's sort of interesting to have five or intellectuals or activists or whoever, five characters talking about a topic. But also, one of the things that's weird and interesting about radio is that it is thrives on repetition, and it thrives on being a safe place, having ideas expressed so that you go to this place because it's safe for you to both think radical thoughts and express radical thoughts in the quiet of your telephone, on the quiet of your telephone. So I think, I mean, whatever idea you have of a national broadcast should be a safe place every night of the week somewhere on Pacifica, emanating from, well, it can't emanate from WBAI. We only have one phone. But, sorry about that. But, I mean, emanating from all or one or however many signal areas we have, and have that safe place to have these radical conversations where people can come repeatedly to address their fears and their. I mean, I wanted to add to your list, housing. Housing is a critical issue, the senior issue, critical issue, senior housing, all housing. People have no place to live, cannot afford to have a, you know, I mean, they might as well go to the graveyard, and that's not so cheap either, you know. Palestinian housing could be part of it for sure. It depends how broad an audience you want to have here. But I do think that we should have some kind of a continuum of radiophonic communication with our audience. I think it's even more important than going out there and, you know, dragging them over to their radio where they're going to listen, because it is that kind of a mystery, you know, listening. Anyway,
if I could talk just for a second. Okay, I can. I'm sorry.
How many here are radio producers? How many here are radio producers, you know, like do shows, right? Okay, how many here are organizers, community organizers, right? So, see, we can have, you know, these two elements together, right? We are a complementary, you know, here. We are a complement of each other. I can see we have different colors. We have, you know, I mean, maybe Asians, we have to bring up, grab some young people. That's good, you know. So, and we have different, different expressions, different backgrounds, right? We understand that our Pacifica is mainly focused on education, and education is culture. But culture is also very revolutionary, right? But because it's revolutionary, why? Because it unties the capability of the people to see more, right? And to imagine more. What do we do when we do radio? We make people to imagine things, right? We don't have a projection in the TV, so they don't see images with their eyes. They are creating images in their brain according to what we do. What is the main problem that we see, at least in our radio station? We have no training. So people get there to the micro, and they just speak whatever, you know, whatever they can grab. But they don't know how to create, you know, images and the people that are listening. So how are you going to project, you know, the energy? How are you going to pass the energy to others if you're not capable to describe, right? So Compa Benito was talking about the national fronts, right? So how do we work in the national fronts? We organize. We have to be, you know, political organizers too. We have to be able to, you know, get people together. But one thing that we are listening is that you do this. No, what are you doing? I mean, we have done like so many forums in our communities, you know, 6-7 forums. You know, every year we do community events, you know, projections of, you know, different things, right? We go out there and we do marches, right? And pass out flyers, and we invite people to join. So we have to be very active, getting people to participate, but not only to listen, to do radio production. We are proposing, you know, pretty much, you know, soon, and we have to talk a lot more about these things, you know, a program for children. Where Pacifica has a program for children, there is not one program that is for children. I don't know, maybe somewhere else, but not in KPFK. We have something that is focused to it, but, you know, so imagine if we can get, you know, people, parents, and children from different expressions. I'm not saying from one language. I'm saying from different languages and from different races to do a program Sundays at 10 a.m. So they're going to have all these kids, you know, listening to it. We have Walt Disney doing radio for our children. I mean, that's crazy.
Marks for minors?
Yeah. Huh?
Marks for minors?
Marks for minors, yes. Of course. Why not? This is a political struggle. This is, you know, do we want our children to be sucked by the political system, or do we want to educate them, you know, according to our beliefs? You know, are we talking about liberation? Right? When we are talking about liberation, we have to teach our children to liberate, to fight for liberation. And that means, you know, for everyone's liberation. It's not only for one race, for one expression, it's for everyone. So I'm going to stop there, but we do have to seek a lot more into it. We have to get a lot more professional and be really good organized. Those are, you know, at least some of the solutions that we may have. Thank you.
Brian.
So I wanted to talk about what I've been thinking a lot, which is kind of the transitions that we're facing in radio, which all... Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 3. Check, 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 check.
While we're waiting to get this fixed, please, may I have your attention? May I have your attention? While we're waiting to get this fixed, please let me have your attention. While we're waiting to get this fixed, we need a decision about time. I recommend that we extend time for another 15 minutes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five people on the stack, and I would like to give at least 20 minutes to the breakout groups, and we have 10 minutes for the audience to sort of
I object
for public comment. And the downside is we get to dinner a little bit late. I think this is an important conversation. I'd like to keep it going, but I need a motion from somebody to do that if we're going to do it.
15 minutes. I object. And I haven't
got a motion yet.
Point of procedure.
So moved. So I said, so moved.
Who moved it?
Robert Mark, KPFT, okay. So moved.
And Jim seconded. Okay, we have an objection.
I haven't heard the motion yet.
The motion is to extend time for 15
testing.
Minutes.
Testing.
That requires 2/3.
There's a microphone.
Yes,
it's that's, you, George.
That's right. Because we already decided it was supposed to be 15 minutes.
And there was a time.
To be clear, Brian will be the last speaker before we go into the breakout groups otherwise. So, Benito, we had a...
Well, I was just going to make an amendment.
I'm sorry. I thought I was recognized. Oh,
yes,
Irene
was first.
What's your point of procedure?
I am... they just turned it up. Okay, thank you. My understanding of what was described at the beginning was that people were going to have four minutes to present,
2 minutes for questions. I don't know what's been happening, and it's not that I don't think people have said good things, but why is the board getting the priority on what was supposed to be a committee of the whole, essentially, in terms of breakout groups, and now we simply want to extend it? I will say that I think Robert Rabin's hand was up, and he has not spoken very much. So I do think, since everybody else got a shot, including people who've spoken three times, he should get a shot. But it's a problem because the whole session has not been
controlled.
I'm not done yet. The whole session has not been controlled. So clarify what it is we're supposed to be doing, because I don't think that's the pattern that's been followed.
So what I said at the beginning was we would have those initial presentations for 6 minutes, and then we would open it up to the group here to comment on, which is what we've been doing. And that after that, we would have the breakout groups, which is what we're going to do. If we don't extend time, and I think giving the breakout groups 20 minutes is that's the least we can do, we are basically finished with this conversation, with Brian's conversation.
If we ever get to him.
If we get to him, yes. Benito. So we have a motion on the floor. What I'd like to do is to not waste any time on discussion, just go to a vote on it. Is there any objection to going to a vote on this?
Actually, a vote on what?
A motion to extend time for 15 minutes. Actually, it's not discussable.
No, okay. But it's amendable.
Extend time on what? The session?
Yes. Yeah, the people on the stack would have another 15 minutes to get a chance to speak.
Are we pushing the adjournment time further back?
That's point right. We're pushing the adjournment time back 15 minutes.
Point of information.
What's
point
that?
Point of information.
Yes.
Who's on the stack?
Let's see. Robert, Brenda, John. Robert, Brenda, John. And Teresa.
I'm sorry. So what, five people? I don't know. What are you saying?
One, two, three, four, five people.
That's right.
I'm sorry, five people?
Yeah.
And you want to extend 15 minutes for that?
Yeah. They'll get to go to whatever group they want to go to. There's no stack for them.
We take a
vote. Yeah, we're killing the time. That
and you're calling on Benito, who's probably spoken more than anybody here.
There actually isn't a stack on.
Extending time is not debatable.
It's not debatable. I just want to go to a vote on it. So if everybody understands, I would like to extend 15 minutes when we will adjourn, which is going to be 5:30 instead of 5:15, in order to allow the people who are on the stack a chance to have their say about this conversation. So a vote yes is to do that, and a vote no. I'm sorry, Benito, there is no discussion. A vote yes is to do that. A vote no is not to do that, in which case we'll end at 5:15, and Brian will be the last person to speak.
But I'd like to make an amendment.
Because King George said so.
Yes. I wonder if people got here speaking.
What's your amendment?
I would amend the time. I support the motion, but I would amend it so that we allow the listeners to speak. And we can deal with the breakout groups tomorrow.
I don't want to do that. Is there a second for that? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can they come back tomorrow?
I said.
Oh, come on.
Well, we don't know.
Follow the vote.
They can speak now.
Let me say that. Okay, I allowed the amendment. It was seconded. All in favor of Benito's amendment, please put up your hand. It was seconded. Carolyn seconded.
Approve the motion, but amend it so that the listeners get a chance to speak. We can deal with breakout groups tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I would like to amend that amendment.
That's cool.
Sorry. Is it amendable or not?
I have always interpreted not debatable to mean not amendable.
That's what I think, too.
If it's voted down, you can move, make a different motion to extend.
Thank you.
Okay, fine.
I'm gonna take that advice. So, yes or no? 15 extra minutes to adjourn. I think it's clear what the situation is. All in favor, please put your hand up.
Six, yes.
All opposed.
Motion fails. We're going to adjourn at 5:15. As soon as Brian finishes, we'll break out into breakout groups.
I'm sorry, I have a motion. You said that if that was voted down, we could, in fact, make another motion.
I did not say needed to. I said you can make a different motion to extend.
Right.
You know what?
I didn't say needed to. I said, I'd like to be recognized, please.
You're recognized, Serene.
I would propose. Okay. My proposal is that we go immediately to a committee of the whole, allow the folks who've been here to speak about anything they want to speak. When I say immediately after the five people who have their hands up, two of whom I've not heard very much from, and without any board member who's already spoken before getting to speak again before the members of the public, and that we extend the committee of the whole process for that 15 minutes. It's the only condition under which I think we should even consider extending.
Is there a second? Okay. Let me say that, so if I understand your motion, that means that we will not have breakout groups. We'll essentially include the audience in the conversation.
Yes. Right.
Is that correct?
Right. That's what I said.
Janet?
And I have an amendment to that. I'm sorry, my amendment is to limit the time of those on the stack to 1 minute each.
Sorry, we just established that motions to extend are not amendable.
Yes, thank you.
And you shouldn't have passed the microphone to anyone before you put it to a vote.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, all in favor of Serene's motion, please put your hand up. All opposed?
Two opposed.
Okay, so we're changing the procedures, folks. You will all get to participate. As soon as this stack is finished, we will open up the floor, and we will preferentially take the people from the audience, and they can speak.
I'm sorry. Just to clarify, my motion was that no person who's on the board who's already spoken should get to speak. So only the new people.
That's what I said.
Okay. That's not what you said. You said the stack. Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay. I actually haven't asked any questions, Ms. Mumbler.
Brian.
I would like to pass until after the two Roberts who said very little this meeting get their say, and if there's time left, I'll speak after them.
Let's see. Robert?
Robert or Robert?
Robert and Robert. Thank you. Let me just say that this is an honor for me to be here. I feel our station is on the air for about a year and a half, so I'm very, I will say very humbly, share a bit of what we've done in this year and a half that may be of some importance to the conversation about amplifying, widening audience. And people have already said it about the ecumenical. And this also talks to the trying to get people together in united fronts, and because it was very important for us in Vieques in the struggle to stop Navy bombing to get everybody on board. In terms of it, we have an ecumenical dialogue on Radio Vieques, and we have five or six people from churches in Vieques. But we make it very clear that this is not a religious program. This is not a religious station, and there must be social issues. And so we work with the group, and so we want to give it a certain direction to make sure that it is of social content. Children, I'm really glad to hear Rodrigo mentioned children. It's the first time I've heard it all day. And we work a lot with kids, and we have kids who produce programs for us weekly, kids from the 10th grade, from the 12th grade, and the 7th grade. And it's very important. The kids from the high school particularly do their programs, and in the mornings, the program from 7:15 to 7:30 and sometimes a little longer. And in the high school, they have a big speaker. They turn on the radio, and everybody in the high school listens to the program. And obviously, the kids' families listen to the program, so it's a way to amplify audience. I think those are basically what I wanted to mention. The idea of children is really important. I also want to say to go back to the topic of the issues of social justice and what Pacifica means to us. I mean, we were very excited to be part of this process. We learned about Pacifica Radio while we were protesting in front of the Navy's gate, summer 1984, when the U.S. government was overthrowing the government of Maurice Bishop. And there was somebody from Pacifica Radio who was with us on the picket line to cover the story. I don't remember the station. It might have been BAI. But that person had on a phone somehow a live conference, or it might have been a recording, but with someone who was in the moment at the place where Maurice Bishop was being taken away. And so for us, it was very important, this notion of solidarity. I mean, the people of Vieques hearing what was happening to Maurice Bishop, particularly because Vieques was bombed for 3 weeks previous to the invasion of Grenada, which happened in October of 84, I believe. And in July of that year, the U.S. Navy carried out the largest peacetime military maneuvers in history on Vieques. We bombed Vieques for 3 weeks, and in a couple of days, the U.S. military took over Grenada. But it's this notion of solidarity I wanted to bring, the solidarity between different social movements in different parts of the country to share resources, strategies, and not just here but also throughout Latin America. We have had on the radio, on our radio programs in the past week or so, people from Alaska opposing plans by the military to bomb in an area of Cordoba, one of the most important fishing areas in Alaska. And we had the mayor of Tinian in the Marianas, close to Guam, people who are opposing Navy plans to bomb in that area. So, again, children, solidarity, and the ecumenical issue. I think this point is very real. There are a lot of people tied to churches. But obviously, we need to be careful. We need to be careful because we don't want to tergiversar, you know, mix up the messages. So that's all. Thank you all.
Robert Mark, KPFT. I'd just like to start out by saying there is a cliche, I think, anymore that says that children are our future. And from a structural standpoint, I think that we've got pretty good representation of the baby boomer generation. I'm not seeing too many millennials, and I'm not seeing too many Gen Xers. I think that needs to change if we're to have a future. And again, we're never going to have it from a structural perception until we get it from a programming perception. And so I agree wholeheartedly with George, and I also agree wholeheartedly with Stephen. We need to network with organizations that already have a constituency, but in the process of doing that, find a constituency that would appeal to the younger people that we can bring on board. And a couple of those that I think are absolutely ripe for exploitation are the student loan issue, because we are literally enslaving generations of our young people to a situation where there's no escape through bankruptcy. They'll never buy a house. They'll never move out of mom's house. They'll never have a new car. The other one, which I think is a little bit more subtle, is the arts. While we could be putting on from some of our ethnic neighborhoods their music programs, their arts events, that sounds like just plain arts and not social revolution. But the fact is, taking these programs out of the school is a significant cultural issue. And so if we frame it in a way that by giving them a platform, we can educate the public on the importance of the arts in our schools, I think that besides getting the educators on our team, we'll get all the families of all the kids that are performing on our team. And so, and this networking can be done on both a local and a national level. And I've been advocating it at the local level since I came on this board way back almost 6 years ago. And finally, a very wise member of our programming staff at KPFT once told me, do something. I don't care what it is. Do something. And I would underscore that by saying that foundation funding comes with doing something, not general support. Rarely capital campaigns. And so we've got to present projects that we're going to do at a local and national level that would appeal to the funding sources. So everybody ought to be out there at their library. Federal funding is provided for all public libraries to have foundation information in one place that you can access. So everybody ought to be in the library looking at the local foundation funding sources and the national ones to see what they want to fund so that in our planning process we can incorporate what funders want to fund into our planning for national and local programming.
I have an amendment. I have an amendment and or a point of order or maybe a point of information.
What is it you want to say, Robert?
Yeah, I just want to make this quick comment. The idea of children are the future is something that we say a lot in Vieques. We don't say that. We say that children are not the future. Children are now. Children and young people are the present, and they should have voice and vote now. But I understand your point. But.
So I wanted to try to steer the conversation for a few minutes to kind of where our medium is going. So we're an organization that is built basically around FCC licenses, quasi-monopolistic grants from the government to use the public airwaves in specific cities. And this world has been transforming dramatically in the past few years. Pretty much for the entirety of Pacifica's existence, we could count on the fact that with every given year, as the population grew in the places we broadcast to, our audience would grow along with it if we kept doing basically the same thing. And in the past couple years, that has changed. NPR, even though it keeps adding new stations to its network, lost 4% of its audience last year in 2014. Now, it's not because people aren't interested in getting information with their ears anymore. There is explosive growth in audience in the realm of podcasting. It's that people aren't necessarily getting it through FM receivers anymore. And the real transformative technology in this regard has been this, the mobile phone. The technology for distributing radio over the internet has been around 20 years, but this is what made it convenient. It's what made it intimate. It's what made it on demand. And it's what made it integrated with a device people are already going to for every other form of information that they get. And I think what we have to give some thought to is how that changes the business we're in, because we have to keep meeting our audience where they're at. So there's really big potential upsides, right? When you move into the online space, you can reach listeners outside the reach of where our transmitters reach. And it's really fun during our fund drives to see pledges come in from halfway around the world. That wouldn't have happened 20 years ago. It also means that you are competing with people all over the world. And the bar is really getting raised on production values. Now that we're starting to get some data on what people actually subscribe to on podcasts, when they tell their device, you know, every time a new show becomes available, download it and queue it up for me, what they're interested in. They don't like hour-long product so much. We're built around hour-long broadcasts because that's convenient for the business we're in, partly because the FCC tells us you have to do a legal ID every hour. Okay, we'll give everybody hour-long shows. The popular podcasts turn out to be 4 minutes long or 20 minutes long in general. There are always exceptions. This world, the world of digital, gives us the possibility every time we have a guest on, and I think this is what you're talking about, George, to tap their network, right? And it's not necessarily about specials, because I think when you bring in someone new, you actually want to bring them into something that is repeated, you know? You want someone to tweet out, hey, I'm on Amy Goodman right now. And then when people who follow up on that tweet tune into Democracy Now!, they know they can get something exactly as awesome the next morning at the same time. But then you have to, if you want to take advantage of the fact that you can tap your guest networks, you have to change your production approach to a show. I mean, for us, what we found at KPFA, it means you have to have a description of your show and who's going to be on your show set up and loaded into the website before you go to air, so that your guests can send out a tweet on Twitter with a link, and that's already got the guest's photo and information about the guest that gets scraped into the Twitter feed, so that everybody who sees it can click on it and tune in. Most of us, our websites are not set up for that, on doing kind of advanced promotion online. And it also means that building into your production cycle, when you're booking guests, when you're setting up interviews, explicitly asking them to promote you on social media and making it easy for them to do that. And what I worry about is that our default as an organization, what we got used to as an organization, is just kind of keep doing what we're doing and the audience will keep growing. And that's not the world that we live in anymore. And we have a lot of room, I think, in the world of terrestrial radio to do terrestrial radio better, to cross-promote, to forward-promote, to pick up our production values, to advertise and try to steer more audience to it and get a lot of mileage out of that. But in the long term, if we're not thinking about what's different about the new online space that we're in and that we're competing in, it's just going to be prolonging the inevitable. So there you go.